All right. Thank you, Brother Michael and Hector at the piano. We Amen. Praise God. What a wonderful truth. New Jerusalem, I believe, is getting ready to be presented, don't you? Amen. Thankful. I like that song, and Brother Michael did a great job on it. That's Amen. A victory time we're coming to, folks. Amen. And appreciate it very much. That was worth coming for.
Amen.
If you missed that, you missed a lot this morning. All right, open your Bibles. Simple portion of scripture we're going to read this morning from John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You know, it's because of what the choir and what the songs we sang in the song service and what you just heard Brother Pritchard sing. All that singing is because Jesus has won all that praise and won that victory. Amen. Here in John chapter 10, we have a truth that's so simple, and yet some folks have overlooked it. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I'll just drop this comment. If you were to look it up in chapter 11 and verse 52, you'd find a reference, and this is you and I that are Gentiles, not Jews. We're going to also, because of Christ, be in this one fold. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm going to stop there. In this portion of scripture, the Lord gives a very real picture of him being the shepherd and the sheep following him and the sheep knowing his voice. But the part I want you to get is that he says here that he's the door. He's the door to the sheep. He's the door to the sheepfold. Now, the people listening to him would have understood. The shepherd leadeth the sheep out on the hillside, and when night comes, he's got to protect them from the wolves and the lions and so forth. So oftentimes out there, away from the city, he would gather them in to maybe a place that was rock all around, and maybe a fairly narrow entrance into it. Sometime he could actually have a pen maybe constructed, but most of the time it'd be a natural barrier that made ready for the sheepfold. In Western language, we'd call it a little corral or something. And when he was in the city, and it speaks here of the porter answering to him, there were places in the city where he could go and he could take the flock inside. And yet when he says, I am the door, here's the picture. when he was out in the wilderness and he brought the sheep into the protected area of a stone barrier, and he himself, the shepherd, lay down across the door for the night. He was the door. Nothing could come in or go out without the shepherd knowing about it. So he became the door. And so we see that in the picture. He said, I am the door. Now he's using the sheepfold here in verse 7 when he says, I am the door of the sheep. Now I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the open door. Thank God the way of salvation is open. You know, we live in a day and time when we know the metaphors. We'll say so-and-so did so-and-so behind closed doors. And of course, in politics, we think about that sort of thing. You know, the door either closes you in or out. It lets you in or it prevents you from getting in. We understand the door thing. And I want to say to you, thank God we're talking about an open door this morning. How many have ever had a bad experience with a door? Now, before you answer me, let me ask you, have you ever opened Fibber McGee's closet? Remember that one? Open it and dodge, because here comes the junk, amen? Now, some of you are chuckling because you got one at home. But as a husband, I've seen the time that I went in the kitchen and couldn't find anything. Husband, you ever been there? And I open this cabinet, open this door, and directly something falls out. Or maybe if it don't fall out, you just can't see what you're looking for. And then the wife opens the same door, and there it is. Oh, bad experience. But it does happen, don't it? And sometimes we get a surprise behind what is behind the door. What is waiting on us? It might be good, it might be bad, but we recognize that the door and the importance of the door. You that have gone knocking out doors, or knocking on doors, trying to get folks to come to church, sometime we'll talk about having a door shut in our face. Now the truth is, most of the time that's not happening, and most people are nice about it. But we understand that the door is a separator there. It keeps us from, or it keeps us in to something. Now in the text here, as Jesus is using the door to the sheepfold as a metaphor to teach us something. And the truth is, today we need to understand what he was saying, because we often hear today, well, every road leads to heaven. Or there's many roads that lead to heaven. No, no, no. There's one road. There's one door. And Jesus is the door. Amen. He's the only one. You hear this statement, well, we're all working for the same place. Well, I got news for you. That tells me quite a bit about you. Number one, you're not going to be able to work your way there. And while everybody would like to go to heaven, everybody that says they're going is not going. Because many of them are trying to get in the wrong doors. Amen. Now the Bible denies that all roads lead to heaven. All ways lead to heaven. Proverbs 14:12. So there is a way that seemeth right to a man. Seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Deception. The sad truth is that so many are fooled with that. Now you know a door sometimes produces... Well, it produces animosity, it produces envy, it produces jealousy. You know what it is? Somebody thinks somebody's hiding something on the other side of the door from me. You ever know anything like that? We got a wall around the village down here, and you know there's gangs sometimes that walk by and they resent the fact the village has a wall around it. They say, well, they won't let us in. What are they protecting? What have they got that we don't have? That's human nature. Did you know that? It's a crazy thing, but it does. We have all that in us where we look around and we hate that excludes us, that puts us on the outside. And somebody said curiosity killed a cat. It killed more than a cat. It's killed a lot of humans also. But we have that nature. How many of you have ever walked by a place and it said wet paint? Don't touch, but you touched it. You had to prove it, didn't you? It said, don't do it. I did it. And then I got paint on my finger and can't get it off. Amen. That's us, folks. That's the old nature we got to fight against. That something might be behind the door that's being withheld from us. And young people, you better run your antenna up, because what you fear is that mom or dad or church or somebody, teacher or somebody, is hiding something good from you. And they told you not to go in there, not to go that way, but you're like the one touching the paint. You just got to do it. And you reap bad every time that you do that. But the world hates this thing of being excluded. It's natural for man now to try to make his own way to heaven. That's why, well, my way is good as yours. All roads to lead to heaven. No, that's not Bible. But what you're trying to do is say, I'll get in the back door. I'll get a special deal cut. I'll run around behind and find a hole in the fence, as it were. How many of you, now don't raise your hand, when you go shopping and you see what the price is, and then somebody says, come on back here, I'll give you a deal. You know that's the way con men work. Come in the back room, go through the back door, and we'll cut you a special deal back here. And sometimes you find out you paid more back there than you would have at the front door, so to speak. Oh yeah, that's, you know what? People have studied the part of our fallen nature that gets us in trouble. That's why a con works. Something for nothing. Or I'll cut you a deal on the table, or I'll take you in the back room. Behind the door back here is something special that everybody else can't get. And that's the way it works. But what we better watch out on a spiritual basis is that you'll find that back door is the front door to hell. It's deceptive. I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. I want to talk to you about some back doors. Now, the open door is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the back door of getting to heaven, one of the back doors that is very popular in our day and time, and that's called church membership. The back door to church membership. Well, I just sign a card or join by telephone. I don't want everybody to see me walk down that aisle, move my church membership. I don't know why you think that's embarrassing. If you're saved, it ought to be something you're proud of. Amen. Something you'd rejoice over. I'm saved. I don't mind being a member of the Lord's church. I don't care who knows. I want everybody to know it. That ought to be our attitude. When I pastored in the country church for 3 years, there was a liberal church five, 6 miles from me, and they were having a membership drive. You know what their membership drive was? It wasn't what we did, going out in the neighborhood and knocking doors, inviting folks to come hear the gospel. Their membership drive was to sit down and call on the telephone strangers that never met and ask them, would you like to join our church? We'll send you a card. You fill it out, and you send it back through the mail. Now, folks, that's a back door. That's a back door. I'm not going to be embarrassed to go down to that church and join it, or go down to that church and confess Christ as my Savior. And so they joined by phone. Look at what God says about it here in chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Now get the picture of the sheep out here, sheltered in the rock corral, so to speak. In a rock cavity. Where's the thief going to come? He's not going to come through the front door where the shepherd is. He's going to try to crawl up the rock from behind. And the Lord Jesus says he's a thief and a robber. And so when you're trying to get to heaven through some other way except the front door, you may find it's a back door. The back door is the door to hell. That's too bad. But so unsaved church members is a problem today. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm stating a real fact. I hope you're saved. I hope you're a member of the Lord's church. I hope you know that and have the joy of knowing that. Well, there's a pile of church members across the land, some in this church building, some in others, that are members but not saved. Amen. And that's sad. That's sad. It's a problem in our nation. Say, how do you know that's true? Because I see churches tolerating what saved people would not tolerate. I see them tolerating the homosexuality movement today, even with ordained so-called lesbians and homosexual pastors. That tells me that's an unsaved membership. That don't believe the Bible, don't care about the Bible. I look around today and see the crowd that's for the abortion, for the crowd that's for the so-called gays, and I want to say to you, there's something missing on the inside of those people that accept that. Had a fellow tell me recently, I'm splitting with my denomination because they're embracing the gays. Well, good. It's what you ought to do, and amen. Thank God for that. But we look around and we see that junk going on today. I just got back, Sonia and I got back, was at the mission conference and went on up, and I was at Stevens a while and a couple of other preachers up in that area. And in the little town of Grantsville, West Virginia, smaller than Haines City, most of those little towns have a courthouse in the middle of them. Have you noticed that up in Georgia and Florida? Well, right down here in Bartow, you can see it. The old courthouse. Well, you know, just a couple of weeks before we got up there, the liberal judges destroyed the ban against homosexuality in West Virginia, just like they did here in Florida, just like they did in a number of places. By the way, thank God for one judge out in Louisiana that kept it intact. And he said, our forefathers never dreamed of this day. Thank God we need more judges like that, amen? But they've destroyed the anti-gay ban in all the states, and about 20 of them has been destroyed now, more. West Virginia, little town, old town, you recognize it as being back old days? Two men on the steps outside the courthouse supposedly got married to each other. Was able to get a license as soon as that judge and have a justice of the peace or somebody marry them publicly out on the steps. Now, thank God, I understand from what Stephen told me that the local newspaper that they wanted to come make pictures and put in the news wouldn't do it. Thank God for that, amen. But I'm saying to you, unsaved membership will tolerate anything. And when it gets into, listen, my kind of preaching and my kind of pastoring, I guarantee you, if I was pastoring a congregation that said it's all right to come in and marry the gays and ordain them to the ministry, I wouldn't pastor that church. That wouldn't be a bunch of saved folks. That'd be a bunch of lost folks that don't know or don't believe the Bible or don't care what God has to think about it. But we look around today and we see the back door of church membership being abused because too many folks signed a card, but they didn't meet Jesus. And that's too bad. You look around today and you see those that keep the ceremonies. We had the Lord's Supper Wednesday night. Thank God for it, but the Lord's Supper don't save anybody. It's not a sacrament. It's a memorial picture of what Jesus done for us. And the truth of the matter is, if you're trusting the fact I took communion, I took the Lord's Supper, I don't save you and it don't keep you saved. It's only a picture of what Jesus did when he shed his blood for you, let his body be nailed to a cross, and it's a memorial that he's coming back for those that are saved. Amen. You better get your thinking straight. A ceremony never saved anybody. No, sir. I've had this said to me. Well, preacher, you Baptists, you're just sort of in a little rowboat. You're trying to row yourself across the ocean to heaven. But we're on the big ship. We're on the religious denomination ship, and we're all going together. Oh, I got news for you. You got a bad hole in your ship, whether you know it or not. A bad hole, brother. You're taking on water of judgment without knowing it. And the truth of the matter is, that's not it. You've got a personal thing to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing that counts. It's personal. You're going to give an answer for yourself, not anybody else, and nobody else can give an answer for you. Watch out for these back doors. They're deceptive. There's the back door of baptism. 1 Peter 3:21 says, talking about baptism, it says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism ought to be practiced, but it don't save you. Amen. Baptism pictures on the outside something people can see that supposedly happened to you on the inside if you got born again. You got made anew inside. When we put somebody out of the water, we say we're burying the old man. We're raising up a new man. to walk and to live in the newness of life. And it's a wonderful picture, and it's a great way to confess to the world, I've put on the Christian uniform. It ought to be done, but please don't trust it for your salvation. You can get baptized in my baptistry or anybody else's until you know every tadpole by his first name, and you will just die and go to hell just as lost as if you'd never been in there. The water don't wash away your sins. The water don't put you in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's the salvation that was purchased through the blood and not through the water, amen? As people say, well, I was sprinkled as a baby. I'm sorry. That's not going to get you into heaven. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:17, the Lord called him to preach the gospel, not to baptize, and yet he did baptize. But he did it after a confession of faith. He did it to be a confession of faith. The thief on the cross couldn't get down and get baptized, but Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm saying to you, you ought to get baptized after you're saved, but at the same time, don't trust it to save you. It won't save you. Now, it's a wonderful picture. It really is. But it doesn't save you. The right baptism will come on the right authority, and the right authority is the Lord's church. That's who he gave the authority to baptize. Say, well, me and, I led my friend to the Lord, and we walked by a lake, and I baptized him. No, you didn't have the authority to do that. Smart thing was win him to the Lord, bring him to the house of God, and let him under the authority of the church that Jesus started, perform the thing of baptism to make an open confession to the world. I've heard of the Hollywood movie stars baptizing each other in a swimming pool. Oh yeah, I could give you some of their names. You say, what do you think about that? I think they just did some publicity show. They didn't get saved because they baptized each other in a swimming pool somewhere. I'll guarantee you that. The thing is, did they meet the Lord Jesus Christ? And when you do, you will not hate and reject and try to do your thing outside of his church. You'll do it within his church. And I'm talking about a true church. I'm not talking about some of his fakery business that we're talking about today. But some trust baptism, they're going to find out. It's not a back door to get in. It's a front door to hell. And it's going to be that that deceives them. Then there's the back door of a good life, good moral life. I think you ought to live it. But it's not going to save you if you do. See, there's nobody ever lived a perfect, sinless life except Jesus Christ. Amen. You haven't? Oh, it's amazing how many folks think so. Brother James and I made an accidental visit Thursday night. Fella come to the door. And we were looking for another house, but ultimately got to talking with us, and it was obvious he was trusting his church membership. And when we asked him what would he say at heaven's gate to get in if he died, it kind of shook him a little bit. And then he wanted to give me the honor code that he had memorized and pronounced when he was a member of military service or something. You think that's going to get you in heaven's gate? That's the craziest kind of talk you ever heard in your life. But man trying to put his own efforts, put his own works, lift himself to heaven by his own bootstraps. It does not work, my friend. You're being deceived. You're opening the wrong door, and something's going to fall on you. Amen? Back door of a good life. Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. You got the story in the Bible of the rich young ruler when Jesus questioned him. He said, I've done all these. I've kept all those commandments from my youth up. Of course, he hadn't. And the Lord Jesus put his finger on the one he'd missed. Thou shalt not covet. He was rich. He said, well, go sell you what you have and give to the poor. He went away sorrowful, the Bible said. Or Jesus put his hand on the fake God in his life and the things that he had. Truth is, it's not by our goodness, not by our works. Listen to me good. And some of you fellows, you grew up like I did. You know what it is to work out with the construction crew or in the fruit or something else. And you don't kid me. Workers get together on a job, they share their philosophy. They share their dirt. They share their ideas. And I heard them in your false one. But the truth of the matter is, some folks are trusting those things. I've had fellows say, well, I never hurt anybody really bad. Is that what you're going to say at heaven's gate to get you in? It's not going to work, my friend. It's not going to work. You say, well, I was a pretty good guy. I didn't steal, kill, or murder. That's not going to get you in. You say, well, I didn't hurt anybody. Well, you hurt God because you broke his law. Bible says sin is a transgression or the breaking of God's law. So yes, you have hurt somebody. You've hurt God. Some are depending on the salvation of others. My mother was a Christian. My dad was a good man. My wife goes to church faithfully. Is that going to get you into heaven? Bible says, so then every one of us will give an account of who? Himself unto God. Hey, that's personal. That's personal. You know, a Christian ought to do good works because he is saved, not to get saved. Because he's been born again, because he's come to Christ, because he's allowed Jesus to pay for his sin, then you ought to live a good life. But listen, I'm not working to get someplace. I've already been someplace. I've been to Calvary where I received the grace of God and the blood that covered my sins. So what I do now, I do the best I can to please my Lord, not to get saved, but because I am saved. Because my name's already been written up there. That's the solid truth we need to understand today, to not be disappointed in stepping through the wrong door. You know, the back door of works, I say it again, has become for many the front door of hell. Then I heard him say, there is a front door to heaven. Oh, it's not hid. It's wide open. That's what the Bible wants you to know about. That's what we've been singing about. That's what I'm preaching about. The door to heaven is open. Jesus is the one who opened the door. He said here in John 10:9, I am the door. Now the Jews would know what he was talking about. In the wilderness they had the tabernacle. And around that tabernacle was a fence made out of white linen, pure and clean, and picturing the righteousness of God. Where the gate was, we'll call it a gate, door, where the tabernacle was surrounded by a white linen fence. The door was made of white linen embroidered with purple, scarlet, white, and blue. It was marked. And there was no accident they were colored that way. They told a story. Some of you have used the wordless book and used the colors and talked about them. We're talking about the door. We're talking about the way to get in. We're talking about the true door, the open door. The purple speaks of royalty. The king came. He was royal, king of kings, lord of lords. He came. The scarlet speaks of blood. He shed his blood. Go a little further. The white speaks of righteousness. He became our righteousness. Blue speaks of heaven, by which you can only go through his gate. Through him as the door. Amen. Front door to heaven, that's Jesus, only one way. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That means there's no back doors to heaven. You come through the front, or you are trying to be a thief and robber. You come to the front door, which is wide open, because Jesus opened it for you. The veil in the temple was rent in twain when he died on the cross, showing the way to God was now made open. And that's why the door to heaven is wide open for anyone that'll accept the Lord Jesus today. They can go through. They can go through. They can enter. All you got to do is admit I'm a sinner. I can't find any back doors to get me in. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go in free. I can't pay the price for my sins. And look to Jesus who did pay it all. That's the way. Sin's payment was too high. When I was a kid, we had an old radio in the front room of the old house I was born in. That thing was as taller than my head, because I was only 3 or 4 years old when I remember this. And in those early days there, we didn't have electricity in the house. That radio ran out of big old batteries. Looked like, I still remember, looked like car batteries. Because when they die down, Daddy'd take them to town and get them charged and bring them back and put them in the back of that old radio. And I could walk up to it as a kid and get a hold of the knob, and I probably invented rap music. I'd turn it up and down. You ever seen a kid do that? I don't know why. It just come natural to do that, I reckon. But you know what we'd hear on that radio, and I still remember it. There was a gospel, what we'd call a Southern gospel quartet today. Might have been the old Blackwood Brothers at that time. I don't know. They were coming from the big city. There was a city up there called Thomasville. And it was coming out of there. And I'd hear them singing. And one of the songs I remember is a little bitty fella standing in front of that radio was they sang something about heaven. And they said something like this. Said, you can't get into heaven because of the wall. They said, the wall is too wide, you can't go around it. The wall is too high, you can't get over it. But you got to come in at the door. I still remember that. That's a Bible truth. You can't get around it, you can't get over it, you got to come in at the door. Have you ever been in the door? Throw out all that stuff you've heard about. That's back doors that's going to deceive you. When you open them, it's going to be disaster instead of good. Come to the front door. That's Jesus. Amen. He's the one paid the price. The wall's too high, the wall's too wide. We can't pay the price to get over it. But he did. He did. Now the question is, are you going to accept his payment or try to institute your own? Substitute your own. Are you going to let him, the Son of God, that shed his blood on the cross, pay for your sins, or are you going to try to pay for them? Price is too high, the wall is too high. You'll never get over it, and if you go around back, you won't find a back door. You'll find deception by the devil. Everything else that you trust. Oh, listen, Jesus paid the price. It was a high price. It was a high price he paid when God incarnate in the flesh, feeling all the pain you would have felt, let him strike his back with a cat of nine tails and rip his skin open and rip him to shreds. He felt that. He was paying the price when they put a crown of thorns on him and jammed it on his head. He was paying the price when they plucked his beard. When they spat in his face, he was paying a price you and I couldn't pay. And when he willingly laid down his life, as he says in this passage we read, he was paying the price. No man took it from him. He laid it down willingly. And they nailed his hands and his feet. And they speared his side. He was paying the price. My friend, you and I can't pay that price. The only reason he could pay it was because he was sinless. You and I could let somebody crucify us and do all those things to us. Wouldn't pay for one of our sins. Not one. But he paid it all. Amen. He paid it all. Oh, I'm encouraging you today. Come through the front door. Get born again. Amen. Let Jesus be your front door to heaven. Trust him and nothing else. Nothing else. Trust him. You see, now it's your time to choose. You may have seen some funny show on TV where you open this door and there's a prize, and open this door you lose, open this door you win. Oh, Jesus is the only winning door. Amen. He's the only winning door. He's the only one. And his door is open to you. It's open to you. We see a lot of bad stuff in the news and the heads being cut off and the villages being women and children kidnapped and all the bad stuff that the terrorist, Islamic terrorist is doing. You're seeing it in the news. It's not the first time bad stuff's happened. It is happening on an awful stage right now. But I read a long time ago where in Mexico, where revolutions happen pretty regular, there was a brutal general leading one of the revolutions. He had an evil sense of humor. And when he would capture the enemy or the soldiers, he would line them up for firing squad. And you've seen it in the movies. And it is reality and it's happening today, big time, very real. But this evil general laughed about it for a long time, how that when he would line these men up at the wall to execute them, that in the compound, in the wall that surrounded them, he would point over to a door And he would say to them, I give you a choice. You can stand against the wall and be shot, or you can take your chances on going through that door for what waits on you on the other side. He said, out of all the men he executed against the wall, none of them would take the chance of going through the unknown door. They feared it so greatly. His funny part, his laugh was that had they walked through the door, they'd have just walked outside and been free. But they wouldn't take it. They'd rather stand for the death that was coming quick, because they feared a slow death and torture and great evil on the other side. I'm talking to somebody this morning in Radio Land or here. I'm saying to you, there's freedom on the other side of the door that's Jesus. Victory on the other side of the door that's Jesus. Sins paid for on the other side of the door that's Jesus. Don't stand against the devil's fire and wall. Don't let him finish you off. There's a way of escape. There's a way of victory. Jesus said, I am the door. Amen. Do you have him this morning? Is he your Savior today? What fear is it that keeps you going on the devil's path? The devil's bullets are after you. He's going to get you. He's going to shoot you down. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. Come unto me. And I ask you this morning, have you done that? Have you come to receive Christ? Have you met the door of heaven? To meet him and know him is to realize heaven's door is open to you right now. I hope you know what I'm saying.